Thomas.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me, my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing just fine.
You got this look on your face like you're up to something.
I'm up to something.
Cat and a canary look on your face.
Do I really?
Yes. Yes, you got that look. Like you're about to nail me with something important.
No.
Okay.
Not going to nail you with anything. I did write a poem that I'm going to recite later instead of the quotation for the week. So we're going to need about 3 minutes instead of just the...
I'll let you know.
Half a minute.
Very good. Very good.
So maybe that's why. I'm kind of proud of it. I think it's my best effort yet.
Yeah?
I think so. And I've actually written music to it, too.
Really? Songwriter.
Not all written down yet. I mean, some of it, but the melodies.
Do you play any instruments?
I've been... This is a slow time of the year for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been at home probably playing the piano three hours a day.
Good for you.
Something like that. I'm trying to get good. It's difficult when you're as old as I am.
I know. Something you should have done when you were six, right?
Well, I did. But okay. The problem was my mother forced me, so I never liked it.
Yep.
But I mean, I guess I'm thankful that I was given the opportunity to be assimilated with music.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But I think she went about it the wrong way.
Wow.
When you're forced to do something, you kind of rebel.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
sometimes,
I can see that.
Sometimes not, but...
But look at it pay off now.
So, you know, and I had taken like 4 years of piano, 4 years of organ, 4 years of trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been singing all my life, too. So, I guess in that I should be happy because I got interested. I love music. But... I never, on piano and on the keyboard, I never really dedicated myself to it. I wanted to go out and play baseball every day.
Instead, sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, anyway. So, yeah, I've actually written something to it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, see how people respond to it. So, what else is happening in the world? A lot is happening. I have a real, really stupid, outrageous regulation of the week. This out of New York, there is a delivery man. I forget what he delivers. I forgot his business, to be honest with you. I read this a few days ago. But it's not really pertinent to the situation. But he found that it was beneficial to his business to not only deliver, but to pick up any recyclables from people. And then, you know... get the money for that. So mm-hmm. It was a little added income for his business. Well, in New York, that's against the law.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is it like junk collectors?
The municipality has a monopoly on collecting recyclables. They don't want anybody honing in on the market.
Right. Right.
So they actually arrested this guy and confiscated his vehicle. Because it had the contraband of recyclables in. Now, how absurd is that? So even if you want to have a little, instead of being green, supposedly, which I think is, the whole thing of recyclables to me is ridiculous. I mean, except for the ones where you actually get money for it. I mean, if there's a market for it, then it makes sense.
Like a nickel deposit on a bottle or something.
Exactly. That's exactly what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And or aluminum cans.
Sure.
There's a market for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the government never likes the competition.
They can't stand it.
They can't stand the competition. You try to compete in first-class mail, you get thrown in jail.
They
and
cheat.
You try to collect recyclables, and you get your vehicle confiscated. So, just so absurd.
Mm-hmm.
On better news, in Atlanta, there's a police watching group that has been using just their handheld cell phone cameras and monitoring police, make sure that they're not, you know, overstepping their bounds, that sort of thing, and, you know, some harassment happened, and phone was confiscated and destroyed, and a lawsuit happened, and they settled for $40,000, and now Atlanta's come to realize that maybe it's better to institute a policy that permits, it should be your constitutional right, natural born right, to video police officers in their process of being policemen. And so they've actually set a policy. Now, before, you know, cops could just harass others who were video. You know, if you're a good cop, why should you object? Now, this is different. I know I hear people saying, you know, when I talk about the Fourth Amendment, well, if you have nothing to hide, what do you care about if the cops come to your home? Because it's your home. It's your privacy. You're a private citizen. A government official is totally different. They're supposed to be servants of the people. And they get paid by us. And so I would ask, why, if you're an honest cop, why would you ever? It seems to me you should welcome a video tape from happening. Because that would vindicate that you're doing things right. So so Atlanta's come to that conclusion. So good for them. Of course, in Illinois, it's still a felony, I believe. Still a felony to observe police with video cameras.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We interviewed a guy a month ago on that, who's facing jail time for videotaping. That was the one in the courtroom. But it's same thing for police. Any public official, they should welcome the monitoring of it. Be accountable. Isn't that what it's all about? So, what else is happening? Bradley Manning, the guy that sent all that information to WikiLeaks from the military, some people are comparing his imprisonment right now to worse than what's required for dog shelters.
Really?
He's in a 6x8 cell. 23 hours a day, total solitary confinement, and under observance, 24 hours a day, not a suicide watch, just under surveillance,
mm-hmm.
And he's not even permitted to exercise. Now, Supreme Court cases and also military regulations prohibit any kind of punishment of somebody incarcerated who's waiting trial, who's innocent until proven guilty. And what they're obviously doing there is they're punishing him right now.
Right.
And it's outrageous. And where is President Obama on this? You know, the stolen, he's the savior of mankind, of the poor and the downtrodden, supposedly, you know? The wonder of the liberal progressive left. Yeah, if this isn't an issue that the left should just be on Obama's back constantly about, I don't know what is. And there's a few out there. Where's the establishment press on this? It really is outrageous. It's not surprising. It's not surprising that would happen, but it is happening, and it's about time people know, understand. Do we really believe in this country the concept of innocent until proven guilty? You know, it was probably put to vote. I'm ashamed to say. I bet you it would lose.
Hmm.
I bet you people like the idea of cops and jailers punishing people being held for trial. The only reason you're supposed to be in prison waiting trial is because you'd be a flight risk.
Well, yeah, he's not going anywhere, so...
So, what are you going to do? All right, anyway, we're going to have a guest today. It's John Babinac. We're welcoming back John Babinac. He's an activist in the state, and he'll be talking about the pension crisis here in Illinois, and actually the Securities and Exchange Commission, U.S. government Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating the pension system here in Illinois. So we'll find out what that's all about and talk basically about the state financial woes, and we will do that after we break for a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
If you drive a car,
I'll tax the street.
If you try to sit,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome back to the program John Babinac. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You are a constant watchdog of the happenings in Springfield. And we all know by now, most of us, unless we've been living under a rock for the last few years, that Illinois is in a horrible financial state. Some would say, well, on the verge of bankruptcy, if not bankrupt. And I guess we're rated now as the worst state in the country as far as our finances are concerned. Worse than California.
I guess it depends on who you talk to. Credit ratings either have us tied or worse than California. Nobody has increased our credit rating since the tax hike, and that was one of the selling points, is that we'd be able to borrow at cheaper rates. But the reality is these bond houses told us that we had to hike our taxes by 2%, or they were just going to downgrade us straight to junk.
So this, I don't know if you have any figures on this, and for me it's really hard to find anything concrete. Do you know what's the estimated revenue is for the tax increase, and if they took into account anything dynamic involved in it, anything involved with incentives or disincentives, or do they just think do they figure these plans of how much more revenue they're taking just by multiplying, well, since the tax was, you know, 4%, we're going to make it 6%, we're therefore going to get, you know, 50% more revenue. Is it looking at it like that, or they actually recognize the fact that they're not going to get as much as you know, because of disincentives?
Well, I think they're actually they're factoring in economic growth. They believe they're going to get $4 billion. It is what it is. They think they're going to get $4 billion this year and $7 billion next. The fact that they think they're going to get $4 billion this year probably borders on absurd, because the tax hike was enacted mid-January. I mean, just look at the numbers, $7 million through 12 months, 5 months, you know, is less than half, but they think they're going to get $4 million instead of $7 this year, despite the fact that a lot of these, the tax collection is lags in terms of collection. You know, for instance, you won't get that revenue. You know, you won't get January's income tax revenue in January.
Right.
They do withholding and stuff like that, but businesses report quarterly. You know, people who are self-employed report quarterly. They may get that in say, April.
And we're all real noise on a cash basis anyway. That's the only way they can skirt the law and say that they're running on a balanced budget, is by operating on a cash basis. So they can't even say from an accrual standpoint that they're getting so much money.
Well, they are required by law, I guess there's an argument that they're required by law to produce some estimate of what their revenue is going to be.
Okay.
They have not done that. This year and last year were the first 2 years where Springfield was basically honest. Instead of using budget gimmicks, they said, yeah, our budget's unbalanced, so it's unconstitutional, so what? I believe I was the only one in 40 years who ever took them to court over that. And that case is still pending, and largely it's pending because they keep moving pieces around, so it makes it hard to know exactly where things are at any given moment.
Well, haven't they in the past referred to you as a private citizen, have no standing? Isn't there some kind of case law against you on that?
There isn't case law on it. Nobody's ever tried it. But that is the Attorney General's argument, is that, oh, he's just a private citizen. He's got no standing to make sure that the state is following the Constitution on the expenditure of his tax dollars. And that's pretty much what Lisa Madigan's office says.
What would the Founding Fathers say? I mean, they got to just be spinning over and over again, hearing things like that. It's supposed to be government of we and for the people. And actually, no, you have no standing because you're a private citizen paying taxes?
Well, you have to bear in mind, I mean, the federal constitution was written to protect people from the government.
Right.
The Illinois Constitution of 1970 was written to protect government from the people.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yes, they totally reversed the restrictive clause in the federal constitution to say nothing in this constitution should disparage or whatever other powers that the state has. That aren't expressly written.
Right.
So you're exactly right.
Exactly. And there's always the void where prohibited by clauses. Those are my favorite constitution, where this is about 10 different spots where it says, you have this, as determined by law, and law says, oh, by the way, you don't get that.
Right. And so, we have gun rights subject to the police power of the state.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, in Chicago, you're not even allowed to own a gun. For instance, most of the state you can at least own. Well, I should say you can own a gun if you live in Chicago. You just can't have the gun anywhere near Chicago.
Well, that's supposed to be changed now with the Supreme Court decision, isn't it?
The one surprising thing about Chicago is that I think they do have gun. You can register a gun to own privately and have in your residence, but there's only something like 40 or 80 applications out of a city of 3 million. apparently Chicago residents are happy with that situation, or just...
Well, I don't know. It seems to me, I'm sure there's stupid people throughout the world. I know that's true. But there's particularly stupid people in Chicago. If you believe the polls, this guy, I blanked him out of my mind. running for mayor, the former chief of staff for Obama, Thank you.
Emmanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. I don't know why. I guess I thankfully blanked him out of my mind. They're saying he's 54% of the vote right now. They're figuring he could get if the election were held today.
Well, I mean, let's also be fair. I mean, Carol Mosley-Braun is one of the alternatives, and quite frankly, I'd probably vote for Rahm Emanuel if that was my choice between her and Rahm Emanuel.
Well, you got Chico, too, running. Some people say he's a little better. I know it's not much of a choice at all. I understand that.
Well,
but why not just go for none of the above? Maybe those polls don't, they probably don't list none of the above.
Well, yeah, I mean, when people vote for none of the above, they don't show up. So we'll see what the turnout in Chicago is.
Yeah, it will. It will. But it's really a sad state of affairs that...
the Republican Party wasn't able to put anybody up on the ballot in the city of Chicago. So you've got the various flavors of Democrat who are running for mayor. You know, the Ron Gidwitz, Dan Profts of the world. I believe Ron Gidwitz lives in Chicago. I certainly know Dan Proft does. But we do have Republicans who live there, and there was not one Republican candidate running for governor of the city of Chicago, and that's...
Well, they could probably read the tea leaves, you know, because I still insist.
Yeah, maybe you get 30%, maybe you don't. But, you know, in every state in the union, you know, we run Republicans for statewide office here, and it's supposedly a blue state. They run Republicans on Hawaii and a number of places.
Yeah.
You know, for the top office, you always run somebody for the party, even if it's an uphill battle.
Right. Oh, it's a sad state. Anyway, let's go back to the state. And obviously we have a pension crisis. The state isn't funding the pensions like they're supposed to do so by law. And they've promised the moon to these public employees. And there's a mess. Now I understand there's a Securities and Exchange Commission probe into this.
That's correct. I mean, the probe, as far as we know, is fairly narrow. Early last year, they passed a pension reform that says employees hired after January 1st of this year get reduced benefits. What the state says, we save between $100 and $200 million with that reform, so we're going to take that savings now, as in last year, and calculate our actuarial liabilities based on those savings. Well, how can you say you saved money by reducing pension costs of people you haven't even hired yet? It doesn't make any sense. So the SEC is saying that we're gonna take a look at that. Now, the important thing to realize, the SEC investigation is to protect bondholders and investors. It is not to protect taxpayers. So if the state is, the pension funds are on their way to bankruptcy, the SEC doesn't really care one way or the other, because that's not within the scope of their inquiry. Their inquiry is simply, is the accounting for these pension savings and taking those savings early, fraud is a strong word, but is that deceptive to the bondholders and investors who hold securities in for Illinois debt?
Well, if these commissions aren't supposed to be monitoring and protecting the taxpayer, who in the state is supposed to?
Yeah.
Besides John Babinek, who's filed a lawsuit in court.
Well, I'm not supposed to. I do it because, this is my home. I'm going to have to live with the situation one way or the other. Any number of things. I mean, the governor should, the comptroller and treasurer should, the legislature should, the auditor general should. The biggest problem with the pensions is simply they didn't fund it. There are people who engage in pension spiking, heads of agencies, heads of superintendents, village managers, who have generous, not only generous salaries, but generous pension perks. That's part of the problem. The state mandating extra benefits that aren't funded on local systems, whether it's teachers, cops, firefighters, a part of the problem. But the biggest problem is, if you're a state employee, it varies between pension systems, but you put in your 8% for your pension, the state's supposed to put in 8% also, and they never do. They say, we're going to put in 7% and 6% this year. Well, this year they put in nothing. Last year they put in less than the full amount. And you do that over 40 years, you get a system where it is today, where the state party line is at $8 billion in debt. I think it's probably closer to $150 billion. Some estimates have it as high as $208 billion. And those bills have to come due because, I mean, you know, there are a contractual obligation. We promised certain things. The state never lived up to funding those promises, and it's not necessarily a fault of the public sector employees, but it's a problem that we're all going to have to face.
Well, in the private sector, let's say an automobile manufacturer had a contract relations with the union workers that work at that those factories, and it drove them the pensions. It was bad decisions. Pensions were too high, and it drove them into bankruptcy. In a bankrupt situation, the company's no longer accountable, at least to 100%, to these contracts, are they? Should it be the same for the states or municipalities?
Well, for I guess there's two things. For private pensions in the private sector, there's a federal entity called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and there's some contribution system where the pension system's employer put money into that because it's basically an insurance fund. If a company goes bankrupt,
mm-hmm.
The pensions are now a liability of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp, and they're paid out usually at about 75 cents a dollar.
I'm sorry, were you talking about private or public here?
That's private.
Private, okay.
Now, public, there is no backstop. If the state simply just defaulted and stopped paying it, there's no one else to pick up the slack by law. Now, a state can't go bankrupt. That would require a law change,
right,
to do it. The important thing is if a state goes bankrupt, that's basically handing over the finances to a federal judge. And while there's the, you know, spending side of the equation, there's also the taxing side of the equation. As a conservative, the federal judiciary is not the safe place to be for conservative results.
So you wouldn't just be in favor of going through a bankruptcy, if we could do it by law, through a bankruptcy for the state?
Well, I mean, Congress would have to change the law.
Right.
I wouldn't be in favor of it because basically you'd have a federal judge making
right.
decisions
right.
instead of our legislators. I mean, in an absolute worst case, no other alternative, maybe. But the reality is the other 45 states that have decent finances aren't going to allow it because their credit ratings are going to drop the instant that law is passed because all the bondholders, investors, people who hold debt do so under the assumption states can't declare bankruptcy. Once that changes, they're going to want more money for holding those instruments, and the other 45 states aren't going to put up
with it. Or let's say alternatively, the state continues not to lower spending and continues to run these deficits, and people eventually don't get paid for these pensions, and the selling of bonds dries up because the whole system's such a mess. Is that one scenario? And if it is that maybe a good thing? Maybe people should learn that they shouldn't be lending money to government.
Well, I mean, that was the situation we're in, and that's what drove the tax increase. The morning after the tax increase passed Springfield, Governor Quinn came out and said openly, "Is like, well, I talked to you know the people who invest in state debt, and they said we need a 2%, or we're not going to be able to borrow anymore, and our bonds are going to get downrated to junk." He was open about that. I mean, that's just not
well. And in a year or two, when they find out that they're not getting the revenue that they anticipated, then what?
Well, that's a very important question in terms of the state capital bill. The state appellate court declared that, or at least the revenue streams, unconstitutional. So now bonds issued based on that debt, based on that revenue, are now in question.
Hmm.
I mean, it's stayed. It's waiting for the state Supreme Court to make a decision. We'll see what happens. But that's exactly it. Now, I think the important reason, the important thing to realize in terms of state finances, you know, you can screw the taxpayers. You can even screw the retirees. You don't ever screw the bondholders. These bondholders, by contract, by the bonds that they're issued, have first right to the public treasury. That means if, you know...
So before a police or fire, or if we're talking about a municipality, we get paid, the bondholders to get paid?
Yeah. I mean, before the governor's salary, before aid to schools, before vendors, social, every item of state spending is subordinate to paying those bonds. And that's a requirement to issue those bonds. As all the bond houses want that.
So, well, it sounds like to me a recipe for revolution if that happened.
Well, if it ever got that bad, I'm sure we would see something like that. But, I mean, you know, we talk about the Democrats who ran the state for the last decade. Oh, you know, we're for the poor, you know, social service provider this, entitlement that. Well, you know, they're not cutting the pork. They're not cutting the corruption. They're not cutting the public sector unions. In fact, they're giving them raises. They're simply just not paying the vendors. They're not paying the people who give, you know, food to the poor or mental health care or preschool.
Well, who in their right mind would want to be a vendor for the state at this point in time?
There are vendors who, I mean, people who have told, who sell things to the state, who have told the state to go pound sand. Actually, there's kind of a brief crisis. The person who provides bullets to the Department of Corrections, I would assume it's more than bullets, said, you know what, if you want any more bullets, you need to pay us on delivery, or we're just not giving you bullets anymore. And the state went to go find another vendor. But bullets are a pretty important thing to have in maximum security prisons.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had instances like that where vendors are like, you know what, I'm not dealing with the state anymore. Now social service providers don't have that because they're providing services on behalf of government. They, you know, they get a $1 million grant. The state never pays that grant or pays it so extremely late. They've already spent the money that they were supposed to have gotten, so they're on the hook. And the governor has basically told them, you guys want to get paid, you go lobby the General Assembly for an $8, $9 billion borrowing plan. So what we've in effect done, we don't cut the pork or the fat or the public sector unions. We go to the social service providers and the vendors and say, oh, you want to get paid for those stuff that you did for us and that grant we gave you? Oh, by the way, you're going to have to be lobbyists now based on our policies. So, I mean, it's almost kind of your standard drug dealer thing. The first few hits are free, and then they've got you.
Right.
And they're having their chains jerked around, and they've had their chains jerked around for the last 3 years. And, you know, the governor waited until after the election for a lot of these things because he wanted their votes. And now he's saying, oh, by the way, we're going to cut $100 million from you guys. And we could have done it in June where it's $100 million, but now we're going to cut at the end of the year where it's 2-3 times as hard. These are the kind of games that are being played right now.
Well, you obviously have studied these issues very carefully and studiously, and so you understand the problems. You must have thought of possible solutions, and think about that over the break. I'd like to hear what solution you have to this crisis, and we'll also get to your phone calls, folks, at 847-931-1410, and we will do that after we break for a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
And you're working for no one but me.
All right, we are back with John Babinek. So, we got a host of problems here in the state financially. What is your solution?
Well, I mean, you know, first things first is that, you know, our problems, while there are financial problems, and I don't want to diminish them, they're a factor of the tightly controlled state legislature. The only bills considered are those considered, allowed to be considered by the Senate President and the Speaker of the House. That's a problem. You know, we hear often, oh, the Republicans aren't public, you know, promoting their cuts or their agenda. There are hundreds of bills each session that never get out of the Rules Committee, submitted by Republicans to deal with this budget problem. And it's not just Republicans. I mean, there are fiscally responsible Democrats, who care about these issues, who try to solve it, but they're not welcome at the table either. You know, a lot of the problem is, like I said, we have a highly centralized and managed system that really, you could argue that it's not really a republic, or certainly not a democratic republic anymore. And your local legislator can't propose legislation that could see the light of day, and they're not really participating in the process.
Well, this is all absolutely true, John, but, I mean, the fact remains that, you know, under Edgar and Thompson and Ogilvie, the Republicans continually raise taxes, too.
Well, you know, that's true, and I'm not going to defend those, but at least under Ogilvie, Thompson, Edgar, the state the money they spent was within their means.
Right.
If we had only $20 billion, we only spent $20 billion. Now, it might have been allocated crony capitalism or whatever, and mind you, that is a problem. But we didn't say, oh, well, we've only got $20 billion, let's spend $22 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's a big problem. But in both cases, you know, I don't know if Democrats listen to this program. They need to get active in their party and promote candidates in primaries that will be responsible, that will stand up to the Democratic leadership or to correct Republican leadership, if we ever get it in the state, to say, no, we need to be responsible. And the same thing Republicans. They need to get involved in their party to get good candidates on the ballot for the legislature in 2012. And help them get elected to push back, because ultimately, I mean, it comes down to the 118 state representatives and 59 state senators.
So you think at first the primary thing we need to solve the problem is a structural problem?
Well, right, and ultimately it's a problem that can really only be fixed from the legislature. I mean, the chamber rules are designed to give near complete power to the Speaker and Senate President. The only way to fix that problem is to get a new Speaker or Senate President, and that like I said, that goes back to the numbers game. We need to elect good people in Springfield. Right. If you think you can petition Mike Madigan to change his rules, please share that hopium that you've been smoking.
Points well taken. I would also add, though, we don't have the time to discuss this now, but it's structurally, it seems to me, we need to go beyond the two parties. And in order to do that, we need to have fundamental ballot access reform here in Illinois.
Right, and there is a law out there. I forget which. It's not Bill Brady. I think it might be Dan Brady who's sponsoring it. Where basically you can simply just pay a filing fee to get on the ballot versus the whole.
Oh, the Free and Fair Elections, I think, is promoting that. Christina Tobin.
Yeah,
okay, let's go to the phones. We have Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
You know what? This guy makes a lot of sense, and you do too, Ken. I'm glad you brought up that third-party thing, because I think that would help tremendously. Having worked for a municipality in the past, their budget process is just antiquated, and I was responsible for a lot of money, and we had to spend it regardless if we needed it or not, and I think that's wrong. I think, why can't we have a banking account for the government agency so that if it, you know, you do have leftover money at the end of the year, you can put it away for a rainy day. Like, you know, I know where I'm at, they're whining about not having enough salt because they ran out of money. You know, that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of what's going on out there now is because they, like you said, the budget process is antiquated. It needs to be overhauled. Something needs to be done. We're going to keep going broke. I mean, I don't understand where Quinn is coming from. If he thinks he's going to put it on the back of the taxpayers, it ain't going to happen. All he's doing is forcing the issue. People want to go somewhere else now. I mean, I don't know where you guys... The bottom line is, I don't know. My wife works for a major corporation. I'll just put it to you lightly this way. They're already talking about possibly moving out of state. So that's four that I've heard. Then you've got three or four other governors surrounding us. Wanting our business.
Well, I mean, including Christie's running ads from New Jersey.
I'd rather go there before. I mean, Quinn, he don't care, though, Ken. You can't. How are you going to get him out of office? That's the problem. Unless you get Quinn out of office, he's going to do what he darn well pleases.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Thanks, Jeff. Let's let John respond.
I mean, it's a big problem in terms of, I mean, it's through the culture. I think as Tim Pawlenty said recently, you know, if you want to understand how government spends money, take a look at two weddings, one that has a cash bar and one that has an open bar. Which one would you drink more at? when you're looking at government, you're spending other people's money, and most people are like, $2 million to spend. I'm going to spend $2 million, and there's always this cultural thing where if you don't spend your budget each year, then your budget gets cut. Well, that creates an incentive problem to spend as much money as possible without regard to that savings, and that's a problem. And ultimately, that comes to having responsible people in office, even especially at the local level. If you take a look at overall spending, we have 8,000 units of local government. You put them all together, and that's probably more local tax dollars getting spent than the state spends.
Right.
And those are offices, most of which are nonpartisan. So whether you're talking about Republican, Democrat, I mean, you could be any party. No one really knows it's nonpartisan.
Right.
They're easier to compete in because nobody's writing million-dollar checks for, the mayor of, Chillicothe or whatever.
Right.
And that's where everyday people can and start enforcing fiscal discipline in the end. These politicians need to be afraid to lose their jobs. That's the only way.
And I think the trend's starting, and there's a lot of incumbent mayors that have lost in the last couple of elections.
Well, so. And there's more that need to lose.
Yes.
I think Daley's leaving in part of Mayor of Chicago because, he sees the writing on the wall of his tenure, and he's leaving before he's thrown out.
Yeah, out of the frying pan into the fire, unfortunately, I think. But
the important thing is to replace him with somebody who's going to be reasonable,
right,
and spend the money responsible and says, hey, there's things like, the salt budget. Sometimes we have mild winters, sometimes we have really bad winters. It's hard to budget for that stuff, but you need to have an emergency reserve for things unplanned.
Right. Yeah, not just use up your supply for the year just because you had a mild winter and just throw more salt on the street. Well, they do I think they do that for the construction companies that pay the politicians and into their, you know, re-election campaigns. Throw more salt on the street and there's a lot more work for the construction companies.
But, it's entirely possible, yeah. Well, I'm downstate. They haven't really been putting any salt around, even on the interstate systems.
Mm. We got a lot of potholes around here. Okay, we have time for one more call. We have Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ken. Hi, John. How you doing today?
All right.
I just wanted to be a little more pessimistic than you. We're sitting here talking about rearranging the deck or the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. The iceberg's already ripped the bottom of the boat out. The water's coming in. Nobody wanted to admit the fact, but, you know, the state government and the federal government are insolvent, and no politician is going to go anywhere near what really needs to be cut, which are the social entitlement programs, because they know as soon as they touch it, the other side's going to have the commercial out 30 minutes after he says it, saying that he wants to throw the old, the elderly, the sick, and the children in the streets, and their career is over. So, like all republics in history, we voted ourselves into this mess, and we're going to sink under the weight of it, and I just wanted to hear what you got to say about that.
Ultimately, if we don't do anything to solve it, yeah, I think there's time to solve the state problem, there's time to solve the federal problem. And ultimately, it takes not only good people to run for office, but good people to work the precincts for them, good people to open up their checkbooks and support them. And when somebody says, oh, he wants to throw babies on the street, you know, there's people out there calling him out. This is, you know, great, another politician using scare tactics to stick it to my wallet. We don't have the money. You can run all the scare tactics all you want, all day long. We don't have the money. The money is not there. So what's your plan to bring our spending, you know, in line? Oh, well...
taxes.
You keep going at it. Well, we've got the winning message. People do not want to pay more taxes. We're spending enough. It is a winning
message. The problem we have with that, John, is roughly 50% of the people in this country pay no income taxes. Because, you know, they've selectively set the system up, and all you need is 51% to win, and so that's where we're at with this. I mean, you know, Ken alluded to it earlier with Rahm Emanuel in the city of Chicago. You know, here's a guy that hadn't been in the state for 2 years, but yet the Supreme Court ruled in his favor that he could be on the ballot. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those catch-22s, you know, the system is rigged. It's just a matter of which side you go down with. But I'll keep listening. Thanks, gentlemen.
Mike, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. John, if people want more information from you and your research, do you have any website or anything you can give out?
Occasionally I put stuff on a website, parttimepundit.com. You can also find me at Facebook, facebook.com/JohnBambanek. And I'm more frequent about putting stuff there.
Okay, very good. John, thanks so much for being on the program today.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and well, I've got a poem for you now, folks. You can find this at freedomringsnow.blogspot.com, along with some other blogs that I've put out. Okay, this is entitled Sleep. The silent shrug of myopic minds deters the wake of caring sighs. It steers away from heartfelt ache, the pain of knowing the real mistake of clinging to comfortable diatribes, from politicians to media lies. The tunneled vein of vanquished care for plights of those we're not aware shall bring a path of forgetful bliss. The moral dilemma won't seem amiss as drone-like brainwaves usurp a hint of gross injustice in our midst. Super Bowls and reality shows, jackpot troves and numbing loaves of bread and circus pablum fare, it keeps our minds from real despair. Shell games crossed with Ponzi malice invade the state with viral madness, revenues stolen to fund the scheme from you and me to bring the dream of rule by force to the looter class and deified power within the grasp. Super Bowls and reality shows, jackpot troves and numbing lows of bread and circus pablum fare, it keeps our minds from real despair. Jackboot thugs claim innocent lies with drug war raids no law provides, yet SWAT teams crash and shred the law. Matters not the purported cause. Alphabet agencies storm with guns for views or vitamins, unsanctioned ones. Super Bowls and reality shows, jackpot troves and numbing lows of bread and circus pablum fare, it keeps our minds from real despair. Collateral damage rules the day as innocent people are bombed away. The Hydra snake in Islamic dress multiplies fast. And so, to stress, the self-fulfilled prophecy now is real. Let's go after Goldstein now with zeal. Super Bowls and reality shows, jackpot troves and numbing lows of bread and circus pablum fare. It keeps our minds from real despair. Hush, little Americans, don't say a word. Uncle Sam provides a life secured. Though that type of life is shallow, making your brain a tower of jello, Uncle Sam does the thinking for you. Just obey the call of the red, white, and blue. Hush, little Americans, don't say a word. Uncle Sam provides a life secured. Hush, little Americans, don't say a word. Uncle Sam provides a life secured. Sleep, 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 sleep. Thank you.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.